Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
This is maybe my second or third time through. I really love it. I think I'm still a 216 guy. But
Oh yeah, one's definitely in the convo as well.
Also, sure. My area code as well, 216.
Oh wow! So guess what, folks? Start dialing numbers. You might get them.
You can figure it out if you get lucky. I should say I did check out the director's cut of this. Mm. It's 4 minutes longer and does, I forgot, contain a subplot which changes. Some of the ending of the movie, but really? nothing too crazy. So I will bring it out when we get to it. But
I had a question for you about this director's cut, because I was looking at the IMDb and several scenes which are present in the VHS release, which are as well as the television broadcast cuts, are notably absent for the DVD and Blu-ray releases and not included in the deleted scenes.
Mm.
So this might be totally fake. These scenes include the visual inspection of the torpedoes by Scotty and Spock, which contains Scotty's line, "That Klingon bitch."
Whoa,
as well as Colonel West's scenes, blah blah blah. So he does say that Klingon bitch.
So I'll just do them right here. So yeah, there is a part. So yeah, they're trying to figure out later in the film what the torpedo compliment is, and Spock's like, the only way we can tell if this is a computer error or not is we go down and we literally count all of them. Scotty gets pissed off about it. They go down to count these things, and there's a scene. I think it's Kim Cattrall comes in, and she's like, it's something about the ambassador's daughter, like something. She's become appointed head of the Klingon High Command, or whatever it is. That's what Kim Cattrall's line.
Azitbor or whatever.
Yeah. To which Scotty goes, "That Klingon bitch had her father killed."
Oh fuck yeah!
Which is fucking hilarious. And then the other thing, Colonel, what was it?
West, I think.
So Colonel West. There's a scene where Colonel West, played by, not credited anywhere on IMDb, not even in the like credited under deleted scenes, Rene Auberjonnoy, whatever.
Odo.
I butcher that dude's name all the time. Yeah. Yes, the deceased Odo. He is playing this Colonel West, a Starfleet officer.
He's dead, or is the character dead?
The man died.
Is the character dead?
Odo?
Yeah.
I don't think Odo dies at the
missing.
End of DS9. Yeah. He turned into a puddle of goo and fucking.
There's probably a book that will tell you all about it.
He turned into a pack of cigarettes and was never seen again.
Yeah, the fate of Odo.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. So
he's playing Colonel West.
So he comes in as Colonel West, and they're trying to convince Kurtwood Smith as the president of the Federation.
Yes.
They're like, look, the time to strike these Klingons is now. We can fucking wipe them off the map, take Kirk and McCoy, we can free them. And destroy the Klingons once and for all. Like, let's fucking do it.
It's like a MacArthur type of thing.
And then right after that, you can headline at the Power Metal Festival that you clearly are headlining in your band.
With his glasses.
Corsex or whatever the fuck.
So Kurtwood Smith is basically like, no, that would be genocide. We're working towards peace. That's not going to fucking happen. So that's the scene. So the ending, so I'll just get to it right now. So the ending, Scotty shoots the assassin out of the window. He falls down dead. They all, like, go around him, and it's, like, this Klingon dude or whatever. In this director's cut, they Scooby-Doo rip off this Klingon's face, and it's the fucking Colonel.
Oh, my God. I think I saw this deleted scene at some point, because I had these on DVD back in the day, and I think I devoured those special features.
Oh, dude, yeah. I was a fiend for features back in the day.
Now I don't give a fuck.
No, not really. Unless it's a commentary we recorded.
No, that's true, which would be great.
I spent the money on it. I should be watching these special features. Wasting my money.
Yeah, mud from a stone with these DVDs.
Last weekend, me and the wife took in Donnie Darko end to end. We did it all. Theatrical trailers. We did
main menu.
Interactive menu 16:9.
Character bios. Oh, we were going end to end.
You're not gonna believe me, but stills.
Yes, sir, stills. Went through all the stills.
That's a good one. Martha, change it. Oh, that's another good one.
Oh, Fight Club. There might be some hidden ones on this DVD.
Mash the keys, Martha.
Uh-oh, we got our Nightmare on Elm Street box set in. It's going to take 56 button moves before I can
play part four. There's, oh my God, there's advertisement for Mountain Dew. Can you believe it? In the back of this, there's an advertisement for Mountain Dew.
Oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer season three. Ooh, we're going through a graveyard every time you got a fucking selected episode. This is a delight. This is an absolute delight.
Oh, that's right. Here we go. Simpsons season nine on DVD. It takes 48 minutes after you hit play for the episode to actually start because there's a bunch of animated fuck aroundery you got to watch.
Put the kettle on, Marshall.
End to end DVD. Oh, dude, we just get we get up to DVDs in this house.
You know, her brother, he watches his DVD. He just watches the movie. Watches the movie, that's it. Doesn't look at anything.
What a philistine.
A narrow way of seeing the world. What a idiot.
My God, they ain't just making the special features for fun, boy.
Might as well go driving on the highway with your headlights off.
My idiot brother-in-law didn't even watch the producers' commentary. What an idiot that guy
is. There's so much knowledge from those producers.
They graduated that boy from college. He's sitting there watching a movie. Doesn't watch a fucking trailer.
I asked my numbnuts brother-in-law right to his face why he didn't check out the director's cut of Alien, and he said theatrical cuts are the only things that should be legal.
I mean, how are you going to know what a movie is if you haven't watched both TV spots? I mean, honestly, both of the TV spots.
And I tell him, I say, Simon, how have you ever felt the satisfaction of hitting all the way to the summit of Mount Everest with the Fight Club original DVD? That is, there's so much bullshit in that thing to watch, and you have watched none of it.
Can I say, I think I did go fucking tits to tail with that Fight Club DVD.
If you were our age, yes. And you got that, you watched all of it.
I remember, like, four different commentaries. Yeah. You got it.
Remember the Memento one?
Oh, yeah.
You had to do a fucking, you know, IQ test, and I kept failing it or whatever the fuck it was.
You're too dumb to watch this movie.
No, I want to watch all the special features.
No, I'm not going to church, man. I got this Memento to deal with. It won't even let me watch the movie until I solve the puzzle.
Oh my God.
So anyway, those are the two big differences in the director's cut.
One of the great things about this movie specifically is that it is like just completely mirroring what is happening in the world with the Soviet Union dissolution?
Dissolution.
Of smog.
Yeah. Desolation of smog.
Smog socialist republics.
Dissolution. It dissolved.
Dissolved. And I feel like nowadays we should, in the next Star Trek movie, maybe in the new Calvin one, kind of mirror what's happening now of the reconstitution.
Yeah.
Maybe the Romulans and that Calvin are coming back or
absolutely.
Something.
What is a once thought weakened stronghold that is like coming back to take over a force in the galaxy? Yeah.
I think the big difference is if the moon were to explode from energy,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I think we would all start blaming other countries.
China
had the moon. We all know China had the moon. Yes. So they are responsible for this. That's not fucking.
It's whoever has the power plants on them. What are you doing to the power plants on the moon?
There's good shit on there.
Why are there power plants on Earth is another question. Yeah. But we'll get there one day.
Yeah. Well, that's also another interesting. You cannot escape environmental messaging in Star Trek. Sure, and this is also part of it, right? That Klingon moon Praxis, it collapses because of overmining. Yes. And we're told unsafe work conditions where I was like, well, of course Klingons don't have like an OSHA organization of workplace safety.
You think they got kids in there?
Oh, definitely, dude. Yeah. Little Klingons with their gross teeth getting their little hands in there. Oh.
Work a double shift or you don't have honor.
That's the thing. Exactly. You think it's bad here. Unions and over there, you just die immediately.
Oh, you say the word union, you're decapitated.
You're gone. You're
absolutely.
Dead.
I will say that this was a problem Roddenberry had. Apparently, I don't know if you read the story that he watched the work cut of this, got really mad about it, and then died 2 days later.
Good. I'm glad this movie killed him.
Wow, that's awesome.
Not necessarily, but one of his complaints that I do agree with is that the Klingons don't. I mean, I just don't know the timeline of it. The Klingons don't have all that honor shit. You know what I mean? Like the culture of the Klingons is very sparse. In turn, they're just sort of villains or ex-villains here.
Decent amount of that, but I think a lot of it is because they're crooked. Specifically dealing with crooked Klingons.
That's true.
And they're not like representative of the entire like Klingon Empire. I know that sounds like a one bad apple excuse, but like
totally.
That is it is that weird thing. And I think also just because like
don't throw out that bushel. There's some good Klingons in there.
TNG, I mean, they invented set 80 years after that, and that whole like honor thing, and that's like you're more used to seeing Klingons at that point. Like, they're still kind of a mystery.
Yes.
A little bit. I mean, they are interacting with them over these movies and whatever, but it's still like, ooh, Klingon.
The,
I mean,
we're still figuring out the head ridges in this movie for sure.
Definitely. Well, that's, I thought Kurtwood Smith was a Klingon for a minute. I
he
was like,
looks too much like a Klingon.
Oh, dude,
like,
wait a minute. His mother hooked up with the Earth sailor.
Well, yeah, his mother was a Klingon, you see, and the father was Raiden, the God of Light.
Yes, that would make sense. Again, and also that would
I'll
be the
bring in the rubber tomorrow.
Perfect name for his metal band. Raiden.
Oh, absolutely.
It should be called Raiden. Absolutely.
Prophylactic. I fuck Klingon.
But I think this is the, before this, you know, before TNG really got their hands on it, really formalize the Rocky head.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, Star Trek III sort of did, right?
Yes, yeah,
like,
that's
what, with Christopher Lloyd.
He's got the big old Rocky
he's
head.
Got a, yeah, you could grate cheese on that thing.
I think even in their appearance in... Aren't they in the first? Aren't they in motion picture for like 2 seconds?
Possibly.
And the ridges
yes,
are there?
Yeah. That's, I think that's where that comes from. And I, but like, you know, you got what do you call it? They're Chang with this basically like he's wearing a football a leather football helmet on his
head.
He
looks like Sagat from Street Fighter.
Yes.
Yeah. He. I would not be surprised to learn like had a grandmother who was a human. Or
got
something,
it.
You know
something
what I mean?
Going on there.
Because it is like he's mostly just a bald guy with that fucking ponytail, and then like. Little bit of ridges.
That's the thing. He's the secret brother of Kirk, right? We do Blofeld bonds with this.
Hell yeah, dude.
But I mean, Christopher Plummer is a real, like,
incredible in this.
If you show me one more forehead ridge, I walk. And it's like, all right, keep it less.
Did Shakespeare write that? Because if not, then I don't think he said it.
Not enough Chang. Small quibble. Not enough Chang.
Give me some. I'll take more Chang.
Too
absolutely.
Too much Shakespeare. You can't keep doing it. You got to do one thing or the other. You got to stop letting him just quote Shakespeare.
Yeah,
or you can't have any more talk, no more dialogue.
I kind of wonder, at some form, was there a script thing at some point where he was part human? Because that's the only Klingon with a human name. Chang is a real Earth name,
right? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's any supplemental books about Chang's early days.
That was the okay.
Oh, that'd be awesome, dude.
There's a line.
Check it out, dude. Having a summer in wine country.
one of the early lines. I think that maybe the first Shakespeare line. There's a suggestion. They're like, in the original Klingon.
That's right.
Yeah, it's
and
a
so
joke.
Like, do they? Well, that's is it?
It's
no,
a joke.
A joke for
I feel
them?
Like it's a joke in the movie. It's a joke for the audience.
Okay,
but I don't know. Maybe Shakespeare was a Klingon.
It opened,
and he came to Earth.
It opened a fucking window of fucking possibilities.
Is that what that movie's about?
The Hamnet? No, I don't believe
it. Not Hamnet.
Anonymous?
Anonymous. What if Shakespeare was actually a Klingon?
Exactly. That would be great.
He's got the classic Klingon haircut, right? Like it's the skullet with the bang.
That's
with,
true.
And then the droops and the goat and the Van Dyke.
And then he was missing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one ever heard from him again. Everyone was like, who was this
first Klingon?
William, why did you have your ridges straightened out? Why did you allow that? You should not be doing that. You should be proud.
William, why are you embarrassed of your Klingon heritage?
I mean, it was way back in the day. Maybe like a horse kicked him in the head and shoved those back in.
Oh, also I was going to say, what with the Shakespeare stuff and everything, and he's so like eloquent about it. What if Chang, again with that name, kind of an Earth name, right? I mean, it is an Earth name. You could substitute a space name, but definitely an Earth name. What if he was like Saddam Hussein?
I love it.
He went to university.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In England.
I see.
Right. And then like came back. And while he was there, he was like a linguistics major.
Studying drama.
Even drama. I wanted to be an actor on Earth. And they denied me for my Klingon heritage.
Yeah. Theater major, minor in war. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of this movie hilariously killing Gene Roddenberry, it does open with four Gene Roddenberry.
You got to at that point.
I want to highlight this font, though. I love this pink font.
Dude, the pink and like the purple, it's fucking rocking.
Am I the only one that thought the credits looked a little cheap? Am I nuts?
It's like cool, like vaporwave looking.
It is,
font.
But it's
attacking the credits.
Look, no, it's because the
Shields up credits.
Gold credits already have taken. I mean, they're the more expensive. The gold credits from the first one. I mean, you can't.
How about the ending? How about the ending with the signatures?
The signatures you like? I love that. Signature. I think that's cool. No, for good. Something about the overlay just feels a little TV movie-ish.
It's a little simple, but I think like that color, it gives it like a weird 80s vibe.
Yeah.
In those movies, 1991.
Yeah,
like
true.
If you put like sort of like synth beats behind it, boom, boom,
oh,
boom,
yeah,
boom. Like you can, and you're watching the title, I could see it happen.
The Tron Legacy fucking beats on
smoking
there.
Smoking a spliff with Chang.
Oh, fuck yeah.
If you like what you just heard and want to listen to the full episode, go to patreon.com/wehatemovies for all sorts of exclusive Patreon content. You get a unique RSS feed. You could put it to any podcatcher or podcast app of your choice.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.